Good morning and welcome to the Thursday Morning Roundtable. My name is Emily Winicky and I'm the Community Engagement Coordinator at Syracuse University. I would like to begin, as we do with all Syracuse University events, by acknowledging with respect the Onondaga Nation, firekeepers of the Haudenosaunee, the indigenous people on whose ancestral lands Syracuse University now stands. This morning's program is a collaboration with Focus Greater Syracuse and their Focus Forums. As such, I would now like to introduce Rita Reichler, their board president of Focus Greater Syracuse, to introduce this morning's speaker.
Thank you, Emily, and good morning. It is my honor to introduce this morning's speaker, Superintendent Jaime Alicia. Superintendent Alicia has dedicated his career to the Syracuse City School District, having worked his way up from a teaching assistant to chief operations officer over the course of his 33-year career before being named superintendent. Mr. Alicia got his start in the district as a teaching assistant at Seymour Elementary in 1983, soon becoming a teacher and going on to act as an administrative intern at Fowler High School. He has also acted as vice principal at Dr. King School and principal at Seymour Elementary and Fowler High Schools. His extensive experience in the district allowed him to serve as an area superintendent, where he was responsible for the overall support and supervision of 19 district schools. He notably established a principal's advisory committee, a parent advisory group, a pre-K to 12 articulation, monthly staff development for administrators, and more. Going on to serve as deputy superintendent for supervision and instruction, Mr. Alicia supervised 38 schools in the district, including the Parent Partnership Program, and was responsible for staffing schools and evaluating principals, among other responsibilities. In his capacity as Chief Operations Officer, Mr. Alicia was accountable for the supervision of the school district's personnel, transportation, health services, food services, security, staff relations, risk management, and facilities and operations departments. Quite a handful of items. He successfully led the implementation of the Peer Assistance and Review Program, facilitated a district-wide behavior committee and attendance committee, established a minority recruitment committee, participated in negotiations of 10 collective bargaining agreements, and revised numerous board policies. A member of the Association for Supervision and Curriculum Development, Mr. Alicia also served on several local boards and committees, including the Onondaga County Public Library Strategic Planning Committee, SUNY Oswego Educational Administration Program Advisory Committee, Youth Leadership Greater Syracuse Founding Committee, and the New York State Education Department Assessment Committee. He currently serves on the Gifford Foundation Board of Directors and the Hope for Education Subcommittee. He has presented at the College Board National Forum and the New York Statewide Title I Conference and is a member of the Leadership Greater Syracuse Class of 1994. Through his many years of dedicated service, Mr. Alicia has been recognized as the Latino Educator of the Year by ANCLA, the Latino Educator by Nosotros Radio, and has received the NAACP Community Service Award, the YWCA Academy of Diversity Achievers Award, and more. He is recently recognized by Syracuse University with the Chancellor's Citation for Public Education as an advocate and a leader. Please join me in welcoming Superintendent Alicia.
Thank you, Rita, and thank you, Emily, for having me this morning. Wow, you read everything, so thank you for giving me the opportunity to share with you my experience and our experience in the Syracuse City School District this year, as we continue to have the health and safety of our students and staff as priority number one in the district. Last year, when we closed the 2019-2020 school year, we were hoping that things were gonna begin to get under control and that we were going to begin to have a regular school year in the Syracuse City School District. That was us trying to be hopeful, but that did not happen. So we received guidance from the State Education Department and from the Health Department in your state to develop a plan for re-entering or coming back. And today, it is my pleasure to share with you the experiences that we have had in the district working together with the community, with the county, with our bargaining unit to continue to provide a safe learning environment for our students and staff. When we began to develop the plan last year, we began to look at three different principles for reopening the school district. Equity, we needed to design equitable system by co-creating this system with our community, and for our community. The safety, again, safety of our students, safety of our staff, not only physical health and safety, but also mental health. Last year, and when I say last year, at the end of the 2019-2020 school year, we suffered some loss in the Syracuse City School District. Some of our staff members lost family members. Some of our parents also lost family members. So our kids were going through a lot of trauma in the community. We wanted to make sure that when they get back to the district, we were providing a safe learning environment for them. And collaborations. As I said before, the work that we were doing, it was not only the work of the Syracuse City School District. We included the bargaining unit. We included other people in the community. We worked with the parents and received feedback from the parents on how we were going to bring our students and staff for the 2020-2021 school year. The guidance from the state was asking us to develop a plan that included three different scenarios. Scenario number one was in September, everyone is going to come back to the buildings, to the brick and mortar, like nothing had happened. Every student, every staff back in the buildings. We knew that that was not possible. The infection rate was continued to increase, not only in Syracuse, in the county, but also in New York State and all over the world. So scenario number one was not an option for us. Scenario number two was to split student population with some students coming in person and some of students being at home doing remote instruction. Preference was given to elementary kids and also ENL and special ed students for us to try to bring those kids more time than the middle and the high school students. So we began to work on a hybrid model, and we had students coming in Mondays and Tuesday. Wednesday was a remote day, and Thursday and Friday. By bringing the kids hybrid, we had the opportunity to sanitize, clean the building on Wednesdays and Saturday. That was one of the requirements from the health department. We needed to make sure that before we had a new group of kids coming into the buildings, our buildings were sanitized. And the third scenario was about 100% remote instruction. This was one of the options that we gave to our families, and we have about 7,500 kids that are still taking advantage of 100% remote instruction in the district. As I said, we needed to do this in collaboration with our students, non-instructional staff, the leaders, teachers, families. So we held different listening sessions to get feedback from all of them regarding the safety, the health and safety of each one of those subgroups. We heard from the parents that most of them were not feeling comfortable sending kids back full time because they felt that, you know, the pandemic was still increasing every day, and we needed to do more to make sure that they felt that the buildings were in good shape, that health and safety was priority one for the students, families, and staff. Similar feedback we received from teachers, from the building leaders, and from the students. This is a summary of some the feedback that we received. Only 38% of the parents said that they will send their kids to school in the fall. 39% said that it was unlikely or extremely unlikely for them to come to school. We have 89% of the regular health screening for students. 94% they said that the health and screening of the staff was the priority. Enhanced cleaning. People wanted to make sure that our buildings were being sanitized. They wanted to make sure that we were going to keep social distancing within the classroom, that the kids were not going to be in close proximity to each other. 66% said that we needed a staggered staff time coming in, dismissing in the afternoon. Also staggered lunch, recess time, and the schedule. They didn't want all the kids either in the hallways at the same time or going to lunch or specials like art, music, and all that, all in the hallways at the same time. We developed a plan following four big rocks. And when I say big rocks, we have four areas that we were focusing on. Number one was operation, making sure that we had everything in place to provide the support that the kids were going to need and the staff also during the school year. That we have a meal service in place, that we have the technology that the kids were going to use if they chose to be remote. The health and safety, that we had a plan for taking temperatures, checking on the kids. If one of the kids had a fever, that we had a place for the student to go until we could get in contact with the parent and we can take the kid home, or the parent could come in to get the kids. Communication was very important for all the stakeholders, especially for parents. They wanted to know what was happening in the buildings. Transportation was also important. We developed a plan that only one student was assigned by seat. And again, the movement in the building. So we had decals on the floor. We had pathways that people needed to go around so they could not be facing each other in the hallways and things like that. SEL, social emotional learning, was very important for us. And it was also very important for the board and all the stakeholders. We wanted to promote the physical and social emotional well-being of our students. So the program that we developed, including some lessons, daily lessons on social emotional, supporting our kids, being able to talk about what was going on with the pandemic, what was going on in the schools, what was going on in the community. There were some other issues going on in our community. So we were also providing training and support on trauma. So this was one of those non-negotiable that we included in our plan. Also an academic program. So we developed ways to assess the students, made sure that equity was taking place, that we were addressing the needs of all the students in the district. Regular ed, special ed, ENL students, that we were taking into consideration the cultural responsive education and instruction, the background of our kids, and making sure that we were addressing those needs that our students had. As probably most of you know, we have 18% of our students are ENL students. They speak 62 different languages. So we wanted to make sure that we were meeting the needs of our kids and that we were also communicating with our families in the native language. And the well-being and culture, this was about supporting our staff. As I said before, some of our staff members were losing family members. So we wanted to make sure that their mental health was also a priority for us. So our plan included, and we recorded training videos for our students and staff, how to get on the bus, how to get off the bus, how to enter the buildings, following the 6 feet distance that was required at that time. Again, in the classroom, we made some changes and we took all the furniture out that it was not needed in order to ensure that every student was keeping the 6 feet social distancing that it was required. We did video on how to wash their hands, especially at the elementary level, talking to the kids that you may, you know, mentally sing happy birthday twice, that is kind of like 20 seconds, so you can really wash your hands the right way. Using face covering, everyone coming into the building, including students, staff, and visitors, were required and are still required to wear face covering. Temperature checks, we were making sure that every student coming into the building and every adult, their temperature was checked. If they had a fever of 100 or over, they were not allowed to stay in the building. And as I said before, for the students, we had an isolation room. So the student was taken to the isolation room until we got in contact with the families. Food services, meals were provided for the students, whether they were in person in school or if they were remote, they had the opportunity to come to the building to receive meals. For students that they were not able to move or come to the buildings, we were providing meals, transporting meals to their houses. Again, positive cases were isolated and cleaning of the building. As I said before, our program was a hybrid program. We were required to, every time we had a new group of kids in the building was sanitized over the desks, the doors, partitions, everything was sanitized. So we were doing that on Wednesdays and Saturdays. We checked the HAVC system and we were, and we're still bringing more outside air into the buildings to make sure that our kids were breathing fresher air. And we were cleaning the coils in the system. So we were working very hard to ensure the health and safety of our students and staff. Transportation, as I said before, students remained social distancing and they wear face covering when they were riding the bus. After their trip in the morning, the buses were sanitized in the morning and in the afternoon after each run. Families and staff receive a handbook about the pandemic, our plan, the things that we were going to be doing this year. We included there the guiding values from our plan. When the student returns, what they were supposed to do, the learning models that we have, the health and safety guidelines that we have, how we were cleaning and keeping the school safe, and any other way that we were gonna communicate with them, whether it was Twitter, whether it was Facebook, whether it was Messenger, all that information was included in the family guide or the staff guide. So we brought the kids on October 5th. We had hybrid instruction or remote instruction with our kids, but waiting to see what was happening in your state, what was happening in the county, and what was happening in the city of Syracuse. Keeping track of the positivity rate in the county. At one time, almost the entire city was in the orange zone. So we needed to do more testing of the students, more testing of the staff in the building. And thank God, the infection rate began to go down in the city. So on March 16, we received guidance from Onondaga County with new recommendations about reducing the physical distancing from 6 feet to 3 feet, including providing barriers. And that was one of the things that we did in Syracuse. From day one, when we opened in October, we had barriers for all the students. And we have two air filtration systems to air purifiers in every classroom also in the district. On March 19, the Centers for Disease Control also revised the physical distancing and again also recommended at least 3 feet between students in the classroom and 6 feet between the staff and the student. So taking all that into consideration, we began to develop a plan while we were awaiting from guidance from the New York State Health Department. We received the guidance from New York State on April 9. We already had our plan in place to reopen and change our format on April 12. But the New York State Health Department also changed the physical distancing to 3 feet in those areas that the positivity rate is low, or 6 feet in those areas that the positivity rate is higher. So in Onondaga County and the city, at that time it was 1%. So again, we went and made some changes and to be in compliance with the 3 feet for physical distancing in our classrooms. So on Monday, this past Monday, April 12th, we began to increase student in person for all the students in the Syracuse City School District. To do that, we again, like I said before, we rearranged the classroom furniture. In some classroom, we needed to bring back some of the furniture that we have taken out because we were able to bring more kids in person. We ordered 15,000 more additional desk partitions so we can have more in the classroom. We could have them in the library. We could have them in the cafeteria. We could have them in the art and music. We ordered 15,000 additional face shields for our students. We already had 12,000, but we increased the number of face shields available. We secured 33,000 children's masks to make sure that every kid was getting a mask every day, and also 49,000 for adults. So we are providing face masks to students and adults if they come into the school without the mask. We ordered 270 wrist and forehead thermometers to continue to take the temperature of all students and adults in the building. We have some concern from some families that they didn't want us to take the temperature on the forehead. So again, we order wrist thermometer to take the temperature. We put new floor decals and signage all over the buildings. We installed bottle fillers in the building so kids wouldn't have to go and use the drinking fountain. They can bring in a bottle and fill that to have water throughout the day. And we put office partition in every school. Again, because this time we are using art, music, and other areas in the building, we install 300 more air purifiers in classrooms. We continue to work in the heating, ventilation, and the air conditioning in the buildings, changing filters, and bringing more air in. We developed a plan that we submitted to the state for emergency communicable disease protocols in the event that the pandemic continues for next year. So we will be ready on what we need to do. We made sure that every building had a 2-week supply of PPE. We began a campaign, Syracuse City School District cares about your mental health for the staff. And we continue to develop plans and work with other agencies on social emotional, have lessons taped for our students that the teachers could use daily. To develop this revised plan, I had meetings with the union presidents. I had meetings with the feedback to get feedback from them. I had a meeting with the parents and it was a co-video chat, and we had more than 600 participants. We were doing it on Zoom and also Facebook Live. We engaged families in a Q&A session. I have a teacher advisory committee and I received feedback also from the teachers, the president of the teachers union and the vice president. We received some data from some information from the SDA and we included that in our plan. I met with the student cabinet and I received honest feedback from our students. And we did a survey for our parents regarding how comfortable they were sending kids more days to school. And out of 14,000 families, we received 11,913 responses. So our plan changed. Instead of the hybrid model that we had at the elementary level, we have all the students at the elementary level that the parents feel comfortable attending school 5 days a week from 8 until 2 o'clock in the afternoon. I had a meeting with parents this past Tuesday, and I can tell you that parents were with elementary kids were dancing. They were happy that the kids were getting in-person education every single day of the week. We are keeping the 3 feet physical distance in the classroom. Kids are assigned to a specific seat, and they all have partitions on every desk. We are providing transportation, 1 kid per seat. And the time for the teachers begin 7:45 until 2:45, except to school, they have an extended learning time. So we have been working to continue to provide the best education to our kids at the elementary level. And we're doing professional development for our staff. Now the specials are in person for the students that are attending school in person. Art, music, and physical education are in person. In the past, we were required to keep a physical distancing in the gym and the music room of 12 feet. Now that was changed, was reduced to 6 feet. So we are able to do art and music in the classrooms. Remote learner continues to get lessons on art, music, and physical education recorded by our teachers. Lunch, we're doing that in the cafeteria. We have partitions so kids can sit and have a lunch, or in some cases, it's being done in the classrooms. It is by assigned seating, and barriers are also there. The library media specialists are continuing to provide support to our remote learners, our families, and our teachers to make sure that our technology is working. We have continued to have the model of virtual station rotations for the students that are doing remote instruction. So they go to art, they go to music, they can go to do English language or math. We continue the partnership that we have with WCNY, and we began this partnership last school year. I knew last year that we had quite a few families that they didn't have the technology at home. So we worked with WCNY, and we had our teachers record lessons, and we had a schedule for the students in the district by grade levels when lessons were being shown to the families. This was a success last year because of WCNY and all the areas that they can reach in Central New York. It was shared with us that students and teachers in 9 different counties were able to enjoy the lessons that our teachers were recording for our students. We continue to provide paper packets or put things online for our students. And this year we began an evening academic program support for students in kindergarten to second grade. The kindergarten, first and second grade are those grades that are very important for the student to learn to read, to learn math. And we heard from some of the parents that some of the kids were not being engaged because the parents were working. So they asked us if we could do something different. So between 5 and 7 o'clock, Monday through Friday, we provide academic support, again, for students in kindergarten through second grade. And we have synchronous instruction 5 days a week, and that will continue until the end of the school year. On Wednesday, the students that are doing remote, they come in and they get a box with meals for the week. We continue to have our teachers filming demonstration lessons and those lessons are being used in the classrooms, or those lessons are the ones that are being shown on WCNY. those teachers, after they record the lesson, they prepare the professional development for the staff, so the staff know how to use those lessons. And we will continue to support and keep the pace between the students that are in person and remote. So at the end of the school year, we have covered the curriculum with both students in person and students doing remote learning. Now at the middle school level. The students are coming in 4 days a week, and we are still doing remote on Wednesday. One of the reasons why we're doing remote is because a lot of our students in middle and high school, they chose to remain doing remote instruction until the end of the school year. So we wanted to make sure that we continue to record those lessons and that we have the quality program that we had from the beginning of the school year and providing the professional development for our teachers. The day is from 8:45 to 12:45, and they go home and then they do remote instruction between 1:50 and 3:40. That's when they do their physical education, art, and music. Again, we have two schools with extended learning time, so they're in school a little longer. We're keeping the 3 feet social distances in the building. And our learners, again, are continuing to be engaged on remote instructions. Again, students are getting specials in person in buildings. The students are doing it remotely. Wednesday is a remote, asynchronous day for all the students. And the staff continue to reach, making phone calls to our students and checking on Wednesdays. At the high school level, we began to use a different model this year. And instead of doing the regular year-long instruction, we did semester instruction. So we were bringing the kids in 1 day a week, providing the instruction, and the other 4 days they were remote. Now the kids are coming in twice a week. Students are coming in on Mondays on Thursday, or Thursday and Friday. On Wednesday, everyone is remote. We continue to provide instruction for all the students. We're doing the 3 feet social distancing. We are working in bringing in the kids that are doing career and technical education to increase that to 3 and hopefully 4 days so we can continue to have more hands-on for the students. And I can tell you that most of the high school kids wanted to remain remote. The meeting that I had with them, they were honest. And the only ones that wanted to come in more time in person were the seniors, because they have not had that time with their peers, with their friends. And they said, "Mister, we want to come in, but we don't want to come in for instruction. We want to come in to socialize with our friends." And I said, "Thank you. I appreciate your feedback and your honesty, but you're coming back to get more instruction." Again, we continue to provide same schedule as the middle school from 8:45 to 12:45. They are doing online lessons for physical education. We're using the art room now and the music room for some classes. Students have partitions. And at this time, we're not using any of the swimming pools for physical education during the day. Remote students attend the related studies remotely. And those courses are being done mostly in the afternoon. And our staff also continue to outreach to make sure that we're keeping track of our kids in case they need some extra support. We'll continue to provide professional development and demonstration lessons also at the high school level in the morning. And the librarians are also continuing to support our families. So, February 1st, we have 4,347 students that were coming in to do the hybrid model. This past Monday, that number increased to 6,078 students that are coming in 5 days a week. So we have 1,731 more students coming in person to the district. The middle level, we had in February 2,095 students. Now we have 2,900. So 805 more students chose to be in person. At the high school level, we had 2,700 doing the in-person, the hybrid. Now we have 3,034 students. So we have 291 So we have a total of 12 students now attending more in person. So that was an increase of 2,827 students. Last year, when we began with the pandemic and we closed the schools on March 16, we continued to provide breakfast and lunches for our students. So between March and June, we served 553,000 breakfasts and 615,000 lunches. This year, so far we have provided 684,000 breakfasts and 656,000 lunches. So altogether, we have provided 1,238,173 breakfasts to students in the district and 1,271,903 lunches to our students. So what are we working on? What are we going to be doing next? We're working on developing our summer enrichment program. We're hoping that the pandemic continues to be down in the city, and we would like to offer a six-week program for our students at all levels, elementary, middle, and high school. And we're working for the 2021-22 school years. So hopefully we can get everyone back in person for the 21-22 school year. And that's my presentation regarding all the work that we have done in the Syracuse City School District to continue to provide our students, our staff, and our families with a safe and healthy learning environment.
Thank you so much. That was excellent. So we've already got some questions rolling in. So we're gonna go ahead and start with those. So you, on the second to last slide, you talked about planning for the 2021-22 school year. Do you have a sense of what kind of adjustments will be implemented for the next school year?
Yes, we are. First, we're going to get more feedback from the parents. There's going to be a survey that is going to go out next week. We ran the format by my parent advisory committee this past Tuesday, so we're working on that. We are working on getting more. Hopefully, everyone will be back in person in the district, offering a before school program for our students for support. Continue to offer more after school program so we can support our students. The federal government, the state, everyone is talking about loss of instruction, learning time. I don't wanna call it loss of learning time. I wanna have a program that is gonna be enrichment, that is gonna be providing the support. Again, we want to continue to provide the social, emotional, the mental health, continue to expand our partnership with the county and with other community agencies so we can have that support in school for our students. Again, we are still at the early stages of the development of the plan. We'll see how this year ends and we will be ready for the 21-22 school year.
Great, thanks so much. So next question about remote students. Are you seeing a challenge with students not logging on for their classes? And if so, how are teachers and administrators kind of addressing this?
Our teachers and the administrator, they monitor that. We run a report. We check the attendance every day. I can tell you that some of our students at Blossom, they are doing a great job doing remote instruction. The parents are requesting from us to continue, even if next year we're back in person, to continue to offer the option of remote instruction for the students. So we will be addressing that. We have had some students that are not logging in on a daily basis. So we have a team that are working, making phone calls, doing home visits, tracking every student in the district so we can account for every student. We have had some families that we have discovered that they have moved out of town, out of state. So we are working with them Some of them, we have provided them with the technology so they can continue to do remote, whether they're in Atlanta, whether they're in Buffalo, whether they're in Mississippi, because we have found out that some families have moved out, and we will continue to do that. It is important that we do those wellness checks with our kids to make sure that they're getting the support and that everything is okay with them.
Great, thank you so much. Kind of on the same lines, can you comment on the challenges and execution of getting digital access for those students who don't have the technology, they don't have reliable Wi-Fi at home?
And thank you, that's a great question. Last year, at the end of the school year, we didn't have all the technology that we needed to provide all the students. So immediately, the Board of Education made a commitment based on the recommendations that I made to the board. We used some of our fund balance money that we had at the time, and we ordered extra computers for our students and computers also for the staff. So we provided our students with 12,000 computers this school year. So every student who needed a computer, they receive a computer. One of the things that, sorry, that I forgot to mention is the partnership with the community. And we have many community agencies like the Allen Foundation, Molina Health Group, NAN, Turakit, and all that, that they partnership with us. The Jim and Julie Foundation, they partnered with us and they provided laptop, Chromebooks, or iPad for our students. So every kid in the district, if they didn't have one, that it was their personal device, we provided them with the devices. So we handed out 12,000 new devices in the district and 3,000 hotspots. So every family, if they didn't have the connectivity, we provided them with the hotspot. So if they were two kids in the family, they received one. If they were three or more, they were an extra hotspot to make sure that they all had the ability to connect from home.
Great, thank you so much. So going forward in a post-pandemic world, how will curriculum, learning standards, assessments look as students enter with gaps in their learning due to the pandemic?
We are still doing some online assessment for with the students, even though that they're remote. We're doing those in person. It is computer-based. This year, the State Education Department, they filed for a waiver from the federal government regarding the assessment, and we were not, the state did not get the waiver. So we are going to be doing assessments next week in the district and all over New York State. We're not doing the full assessment that we have done in the past, but we are going to have some assessment for next year so we can assess where the kids are. Again, like I said, we're planning an enrichment program this summer, and we're going to be doing some assessment during the summer. So we know where are the areas that we need to put some emphasis next year. I can tell you already that one of those areas is math. We have seen progress in ELA, but the progress in math has been limited. So we're working on developing new curriculum, new strategies, getting more support for our kids for next year.
Great, thank you so much. Switching gears a little bit, where is the school district on the regional STEAM high school? I'm sure the pandemic has presented additional challenges, but hoping that the project is still on track.
First, I wanna say thank you to Amazon. Probably all of you heard that Amazon made a donation of $1.75 million for the program. We are working with the State Education Department on the lease between the school district, the city, and the county, so we can get the money for the renovation of the building. We have a committee that has been working on developing the program. We have Dr. Jody Manning, who is facilitating some of the committees and some of the work that we're doing for the STEAM school. There's a survey that is going to go out next week in collaboration with Magni, asking businesses in the community in Central New York, what are the needs that they have right now, especially after dealing with this pandemic. So we are moving forward with the plans for the renovation and the implementation of the first countywide STEAM school in New York State. This is going to be the first one. And again, it is a collaboration. We're working with BOCES. We're working with the other school district. 60% of the students will be students from the Syracuse City School District. 40% of the students will be students from Onondaga County. And it will be a great opportunity. I mean, we don't need to compete for funding. We just need to work together to develop great academic program. And we can have the best high school that is going to be countywide. So we are moving forward with the planning and the development of the STEAM school. We're looking forward for the opening. We're developing a great performing art program. We can wait to see the Lincoln Auditorium being renovated and to have those performances that I heard, because I was not here, I didn't grow up here, but people talk about the Lincoln Auditorium the way it was. So our kids will be the next superstars in Broadway, Hollywood, and all over.
Great, thank you so much. Switching gears again to teachers. So how are you doing with teachers and staffing in general? Have you lost many due to the pandemic?
No, we had some openings for teachers. We have some substitutes, but I have to commend our teachers for the work that they have done during this pandemic. And especially the work that this past Tuesday, Monday, when we reopened with 5 days of instruction at the elementary level, teachers are excited. I'm getting emails from teachers and from administrators saying the building is alive again. It is great to see kids back in the building. And like I said before, parents are very excited. Teachers were dancing, welcoming the kids, and parents were dancing because they were giving the kids to the teachers and leaving the kids in school. So I have to commend our teachers for the work that they have done. They have been very creative, supporting our students, communicating with the families, using the technology to teach. So they have been great.
Great, thank you. Sticking with teachers, so what is the district doing to provide extra care for teachers who are tasked with conducting in-person and virtual classes, as well as caring for children of their own children doing virtual classes potentially?
We are following the guidance from the state and regarding leave of absences. In some cases, if we have not been able to accommodate the need, teachers have been able have been given the opportunity for leave. In some cases, we still have some teachers that are coming to school in the morning, doing the remote, and then doing remote in the afternoon. So we have been able to work with them to support them. It is difficult when we have an increase of number of kids that they want to come in person to have everyone work from home, because we need to have the people in the building. But our HR department, our health services department have looked at every single request. And in cases where we have been able to meet those requests, we are working with them. But the staff has been great. They really have been very personal, very creative. So they have been great. And as I said before, at the beginning of the presentation, our HR department has the SCSD care campaign. That is to provide the mental support for our students, mental support for our staff. So if someone is in need, we are providing the support that they need to be successful.
Great, thank you so much. So the district has made great progress with graduation rates in recent years, rising from under 50% to about 70%, along with addressing the achievement gap. What are your thoughts on the progress with the great challenges and setbacks of the past year?
We continue to put a lot of efforts providing support that our students need to be successful. Our administrators and the staff at the high school level, they're working very closely with the senior, tracking every single student, making sure that they're getting the support that they need, looking at their schedule, making sure that they are going to be able to meet the 22 credits that are required for graduation. Even though this year the Regents exams are limited and not required, providing that opportunity for the students. So conversations that I have had with the principals, they feel that we will see an increase again in graduation rate. I hope that we're gonna be able to maintain that. I'm continue to be committed, and so is the board, to continue to provide the support that the students are going to need to graduate from high school. The pandemic has put a lot of pressure in some of our kids, because some of them have had to go to work in order to support their families. So we have been flexible with them. I can tell you that the kids at the high school level, that they're doing remote, and if they're working, they're signing in and doing their work online between 6 o'clock in the evening until 2 o'clock in the morning. So we continue to provide those opportunities for our students so they can continue to work and continue to meet all the requirements necessary for graduation. Our kids need extra support, and we're here. And again, I want to give credit to the staff, because they are working with them, they're calling them, they're tracking them, and providing that support so they can complete all the requirements.
Great, thank you. Switching gears to funding. So with the federal relief money for local governments will be direct, however, school district relief will go through the state. Are you concerned about being able to access the full funding through New York State?
I can say that in 38 years that I have with the Syracuse City School District, I have never seen what we're seeing this year, and especially last year when the governor was saying that probably the funding was going to be reduced by 20%. We were blessed and we didn't get that reduction. I want to give credit to our elected officials in Syracuse and in Onondaga County and all over New York State, that they were committed to continue to provide the financial support that school districts are going to need. And they're increasing the foundation aid for the school district. I am hopeful that that's going to continue, but I'm also concerned, because that was the same promise that it was made to school district in 2007 about the foundation aid, and we received some funding, and then the state was having some other difficulties and we didn't see that. With the federal money that is coming through New York State, we are waiting for more guidance from the state education department. We will have to develop some plans, getting feedback from all the stakeholders, from families, from students, from teachers, on how we were going to spend that money. We need to post that plan on our website and let people know how we're gonna be using that money. But we, for the first time, I'm feeling positive about the financial situation of the district. And I hope that we are going to be able to receive all the money that was allocated to the district. $109 million is going to provide opportunities for us to buy more technology for our students, to have those before and after school program, to extend the year, having the 6 weeks during the summer. So we hope that the state will keep their promise and that we will be able to receive all that funding and put it in the school so we can continue to support our families and our students.
Thank you. So you mentioned an example about working with the county earlier. Can you provide a quick kind of overview of how this school district works with Onondaga County government?
Well, they have been championing supporting us through this pandemic by doing the testing of our students and staff, giving us the priority when we began to vaccinate school staff, working with us for years to provide mental health services to our students on site. So we have a partnership with other community agencies because of the collaboration with the county to provide mental health support, family support services. We have health a mental health clinic in 31 of our 33 buildings. And we hope that this year we're gonna be able to include the other two buildings. So they have been working with us, providing social emotional support and to our kids, and also working with our families. So the county, from day one, they have been instrumental in supporting all the district through this pandemic. So, and we will continue to expand on that.
Great, thank you. We've got time for one final question. So you said that on Monday that you opened back up to more students coming in person. How has that been going in the three days that it's been opened?
It's been great. It has been great. I'm happy, I'm excited. Teachers are happy and excited. The kids are, some of them are very happy and excited because they're coming now 5 days a week. Not that I needed to think of that, because no, I'm just kidding about that. And parents are excited that we're offering more time, instructional time in person to the kids. I always have said, you know, schools without students are just buildings, you know. The staff are doing a great job. It is going great. There's some areas, you know, that we're working on because we have more kids, more buses. Some of the buses are a little late, but we're working on that. And like I said at the beginning, staff is excited. They were excited to see the kids, and we're excited. It's going well. And what we need to do is, people in the community, please follow the rules, keep social distancing, do the things that we need to do to keep the infection rate low in the city and in the county, so we can continue to have the success that we're having with the kids in person in the school. The kids need some consistency. They need some instruction, and we are offering that. So I am very, very happy to see 12,000 kids out of the 20,000 that we have that are coming in person, and that we're checking on those other 7,000, you know, making sure that they're working. But things are going well. I'm excited, and I'm looking forward to the summer and hopefully bringing everyone back next year in person in the district. I miss the kids. This is where I got into education.
That was a great way to kind of end everything. So thank you very much, and we'll see you next week.